Morning, church. Great to be with you on this scattered Sunday. Well, we're unpacking new land living as our theme for this year, and we're certainly finding ourselves in some new strange environments, aren't we, during this lockdown period. But there's still lots we can learn from our guiding story of God's people entering their promised land, their new land, that'll inform us as we seek to enjoy the fullness of our new life in Christ. Now, in our guiding story, they were in their new land and now had to take possession of it. And that was going to involve warfare. And I hope you realise that now you're in your new life in Christ, taking full possession of it and enjoying it to the full, it's going to involve some battles, some warfare. So we're going to start to unpack over the next 2 or 3 weeks this theme of this is how we fight our battles. Because our heart for you is not that you just barely get by as a Christian, but you tackle every enemy that might seek to hinder your progress in Christ and take you from victory to victory, which will be a hallmark of new land living. Now, there's a sense in which the whole of the Christian life is a battle. You were saved from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. And the conflict between those kingdoms is an ever-present reality as we navigate our course. And the Bible is therefore full of great wisdom informing us how to live in the new life and win every battle that we face along the way. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said this in 1 Timothy 6:12. He said, "Fight the good fight," implying that this fight for possession of fullness in Christ is a good fight. The end of his own life, Paul reflects and he says in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I've fought the good fight. I run the race. I've kept the faith." I think unless we come to terms with the fact that we're going to have battles along the way as we seek to be the best we can be for Jesus, then we're not going to be equipped unless we come to terms with it. So, this is how we fight our battles. Let me just say a couple of things by way of context setting. Paul described the fight as a good fight. I reckon there are good fights and bad fights. And the Christian fight, the battle that we're going to be talking about, is essentially a good fight. You know, a good fight is one that has noble ends, where the struggle is positive, where it leads to goodness triumphing over evil. That's a good fight. When you've been in the good fight, you kind of come out a little bit bruised and battered sometimes, and you say things like, "Whew, that was a struggle. We've been through the fire, we've been through the water, but we've come out the other side in victory, and that feels good. It was well worth the fight to get what we now possess." That's the principle at stake here. For Joshua, he knew taking his land and possessing it was a good fight. And for you and I, taking all that's ours in Christ is a good fight. The other thing I want to say by way of introduction is we're not here talking about a fight for your salvation. No, you're saved already. Jesus won that battle on the cross. No, this is a fight for the fullness of your salvation. It's a fight against anything that would stop you becoming all that you can become in Christ. That's the fight. It's kind of a fight to make sure you get to the mountaintop rather than staying at base camp. It's a fight for your full inheritance rather than just surviving on a few blessings every now and again. It's actually a fight for a life of significance, a world-changing life, a difference-making life, rather than just clinging on to your salvation until one day you get to heaven. So this good fight is a fight against anything that would hinder us possessing fully the new life we have. So let's go back to our story, because I want to share quickly with you three things that I think are keys to winning the good fight for the possession of our new life in Christ. The first is this: we check before we charge. This is how we fight our battles in New Land Living. We check before we charge. I'm drawing this point from a little incident that happened right at the start of the military campaign for God's people in the Old Testament. Here we find Joshua in chapter 5, and he's reviewing Jericho and no doubt thinking about military strategy and how he'll tackle it, when suddenly someone appears. And this is how it's described in verse 13 of Josh 5. It says, when he was near Jericho, Joshua looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy." And Joshua did so. This is a crucial incident because up to this point, I think Joshua thought he was in charge. He was the commander of the Lord's army. But now this figure comes and makes it clear, "No, Joshua, you follow me, and all the people follow me." You see, this battle we're fighting for possession of our new life is about us following in the wake of the victory that Jesus has already won. Most Christian scholars believe that this figure who appeared actually was a pre-incarnation appearance of Christ. So it is actually Jesus saying to Joshua, "Hey, take your sandals off, because when you get round me, it's holy ground." And the truth is this, before we ever charge into any battle, we've to make sure our feet are on holy ground. We've to be checking our heart and our motives and our reasons for wanting to engage in that particular battle. I've got to check before I charge. Too many Christians, I think, are fighting wrong battles today, and it grieves me to say it, but you pick it up on social media, I pick it up in conversations. They're fighting causes, but the causes they've picked, the battles they've picked, not necessarily what Jesus has picked and is leading them into. Some are fighting other people's battles and it's killing them. Some are fighting battles for what are basically non-essential issues. Some are fighting for selfish ends rather than God's ends. But you know, the key to fighting the good fight is always to start on holy ground. As it were, take your shoes off. Take a moment, a bow in reverence to the commander of the Lord's army, to Jesus himself, and say, "Lord, why am I fighting this battle? Does it serve your interests? Is my heart pure? Are my interests right here? Are my motives pure?" And then you get a sense of, yeah, come on, we can do this together. You're in a good place to fight and win. So this is how we fight our battles, church. Firstly, we always check our heart before we charge in. Secondly, we inquire before we engage the enemy. We inquire. You know, if we go back to our story, God's instruction had been crystal clear to Joshua. The instruction was, dispossess the land. So you've been given the land, now you must place your feet on it and push out the people who are currently occupying it, hence the warfare. It's yours to dispossess. And that's what he did. Jericho went well in the end, you know, Ai went well in the end, and gradually the fear of what was happening rippled through the nation. So kings began to coalesce together and decide, right, we will go to war with Joshua. But there was one little group of Hivites from a place called Gibeon. They had a different strategy. And they decided they would try and trick Joshua through a ruse. And this is what happened. Joshua chapter 9. It basically says in verse 3, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins cracked and mended. They put worn out and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. Or the bread of their food supply was dry and mouldy. And then they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him, "We've come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us." The Israelites said to the Hivites, "But perhaps you live near us. So how can we make a treaty with you?" "Oh, we're your servants," they said to Joshua. And Joshua says, well, who are you then? And where do you come from? And what follows is a long account, a kind of a sob story of how they're foreigners, just like the Jews. And they would like to make a peace treaty with them. And in verse 15 we read, "Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live. And the leaders of the assembly ratified it by oath." Basically, they were duped, completely tricked. And only 3 days later did they realise it. And it was like, oh, what have we done? Because they were stuck with it. They'd made an oath before the Lord and had to honour it. So what that meant was that their new land, which was they were supposed to dispossess, would always have an inhabitant in it that they'd allowed to stay there but shouldn't have. How could that have happened? Well, the answer's in the text. Verse 14 simply says this, that the Israelites sampled their provisions, you know, all this mouldy bread, but they did not inquire of the Lord. Wow. You know, it is possible for you and I to make an inappropriate peace with things in our lives that Jesus really wants us to push out, to dispossess, but we allow them to stay. It can be an attitude or a habit, a mentality. We can think, well, maybe it's all right. We make a treaty of peace with it, as it were, and we let it live in the new land with us. And Jesus is thinking, oh no. No, they're filling space that I got other good things for you to have. We should have pushed them out. Always inquire of the Lord. Don't take things at face value, because even the devil, it says in 2 Corinthians 11, masquerades as an angel of light. And we can be tricked like he was, Joshua was. But if we keep talking to Jesus and inquire before we engage, then we'll get it right. Before we engage is key. You see, once you get into the battle, it's really noisy. And once you're in the warfare, you don't necessarily hear the still sound of the Holy Spirit in your heart. You don't necessarily hear the sound of the wise counsel that comes your way. So inquire before you engage. This is how we fight our battles. We check before we charge. We inquire before we engage the enemy. And lastly, and maybe most importantly, we choose to fight only God's way. We won't read it, but the story of Joshua is legend. You all know it. God told them to march around the city and eventually shout, and the walls fall down. And it was unconventional warfare. It was the commander of the Lord's leading, not Joshua's historic military experience. And it takes faith and obedience to tackle things God's way rather than this world's way sometimes. But it's important we learn to, because our fight is not a human fight. The symptoms of our warfare can seem physical. It can seem like an illness or a bad attitude from someone or a person. It can seem like a mental stronghold or a feeling that comes over us. And so we try and tackle it with those things. But Ephesians says this in 6:12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities and the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil. Every physical battle you have, there is a spiritual dimension to now you're in Christ. And you have to learn to exercise spiritual warfare against those things, alongside all the practical things you do. So it might look like an old habit, but you need to find the key to freedom from that habit, which is also found in Christ, not just in your self-control. You have to allow the mind of Christ to inform the way you win the battle for your mind, not just exercise the power of positive thinking. There's a spiritual dimension. And if we will tackle things spiritually, using the same power that raised Christ from the dead that now dwells in us, using the authority of the name of Jesus, and leading into the enemy in the power and presence of Christ that resides in us, we're going to win those battles. Don't just follow convention or fight the world's way, but fully submit to Jesus. Check before you charge, inquire before you engage, and choose to fight only God's way. From this point on in the story, Joshua had clearly got the message. He learned that if he did those things, he'd win. And the story is one of victory, as God, alongside his military efforts, does amazing things. Hailstones come and help from heaven, and confusion sent into the enemy. The sun even stood still on one day. Fabulous things happen. If we will do it God's way, we will prevail. This is how we fight our battles in New Land Living. We check our heart before we charge in. We inquire of the Lord before we engage the enemy. We choose to only fight God's way. And when we do, God is with us in the fight and we prevail. Now, I've got a question for you people. Can you confidently say, God is with me in the fight? Isn't it good to be able to say that? God is with me in the fight. Now, if you can't say that this morning, it may be that you don't know Jesus as your personal friend and saviour. I'd like to give you the opportunity to invite him to come and share the journey with you, so you know you have his strength alongside you in the battle. We call it becoming a Christian. It's making a response. It's saying, God, come and journey with me.